Welcome to the Get Balanced Podcast with Dr. Donnie. If you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or emergency medical professional who would like to improve your family relationships, your physical and mental health, and want to have success at work and at home, well, this show is for you. Welcome to the Get Balanced program. Let's get started.
All right, good morning, Jim. Thank you for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having me on, Donnie. I appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, I want to jump right into it. And when I'm, you know, the name of the program, of course, is called Get Balanced. And I want to get into that work-life balance. And in order to do that, I think we first need to try to get a good understanding of when we say work for you. Now, I know you wear many hats when it comes to work. If you could share with us a little bit about your work and everything that is involved in that.
Oh, sure. I'm a career firefighter, paramedic for Dayton, Ohio. I've been doing that for almost 20 years. So that is, 24 on, 48 off. That's my clock in and clock out job that I do. But during those 48 hours off, now I'm wearing all sorts of different hats, like you said. I'm a union guy. I'm the trustee on our executive board. I also am a peer supporter. And beyond that, I also have my own kind of side business, just like most firefighters, the Firefighter Cancer Consultants. And I do my own podcast as well called The 25 Live.
Well, tell us a little bit about The 25 Live, if you would.
25 Live is now, it's about a year old. It is a health and wellness podcast, just a weekly episodes for the fire service and first responders. And having the background of being involved in kind of the cancer world and also the behavioral health world, I had to, luxury of knowing all these subject matter experts for both cancer and behavioral health. And I basically just bring them on to the show each week and interview them and kind of let them teach us of what they know.
Okay. So you have your shift work, union work, consulting work, podcast work. You're working quite a bit.
I am, in fact. Yes.
Okay. Let's shift a little bit. The other side of the equation, if you will, is that what are the other hats you wear? Yeah, I know husband, father, son.
Absolutely. Yes, I've married for actually 9 years in just a couple of weeks. And I've got two boys, 7 and 4.
Congratulations on the marriage.
I have a cat named Mitch as well. And that's our, that's our family.
Yeah.
Jameson, 7, Logan's 4, and Mitch is like 10 that we know of.
So Mitch was the firstborn, I see.
Yes, he was.
All right. Well, when I talk about work-life balance, the way I have defined it for so many years is that it's all about aligning our day-to-day behaviors with our priorities in life. And when you think about that, it's aligning what are our day-to-day behaviors and how are they aligned with our priorities in life. And then another thing that I preach often about is that self-care, when we look at that from a universal perspective, how do we take care of our physical self, our psychological, emotional, and then we have our social aspect in lives and also some our spiritual. But one thing that I wanted to focus on, for your work-life balance, Jim, is that share with us a little bit about what has been going right in your world.
Interesting question there, Donnie. As silly as this sounds, and this may be backwards to a lot of people, but COVID has actually made things much easier. It's simplified things for me. Now all of a sudden there's time, there's availability, and you've had that opportunity. And kind of take the economy side of things apart and people getting sick, but just the reality of things are different now. Things are simplified. It's kind of going back to basics. And it was almost like a reset this whole time has been. So I've been able to focus more on what I really should be focusing on really to begin with. I was already doing getting there, but then this really helped push it to kind of the next level.
Okay. Well, tell us, actually, that's a good lead-in. Tell us about a time when you felt that you were out of balance with your work and life roles?
See, and I bet you some of your listeners feel the same way. I have a problem, or at least I had a problem saying the word no. If somebody needed help, if something needed to be done,
yeah,
I said yes. And I also had the attitude of where I wasn't the best at delegating, so I ended up doing stuff just on my own because I felt like if it needed to be done right, I'm going to do it, and I'll make sure it's right the first time and won't have to deal with stuff. So I had that attitude, and it was project after project after project building up and building up, and it just, I mean, ultimately it was just too much. There was no balance. And even when I was home, and my wife would tell you this, I wasn't home. I might have been physically home, but mentally, I wasn't there. I was thinking about everything else the time. Everything else I had to do. I just had this checklist that was just constant that I had to get to.
Did you know that you were out of balance?
Yeah, I knew I was out of balance. But at the same time, I felt obligated to do a lot of the stuff that I was doing. And I mean, at the time, you know, I'm trustee on our e-board, for example, but yet I found myself doing, you know, there's 11 positions, and there was many times where I was involved with five or six of those positions, helping out and doing things. So instead of just staying in my lane and my role and responsibility on that board, I was all over the place.
Yeah. And I hear that often in my workshops about, it's hard to say no. And one thing I preach about is that, you know, when you're saying yes to something, you are also silently saying no to something else.
You know, absolutely.
That extra project you're doing might mean you're not going to get home to spend time with one of your boys or both your boys before they go to bed or something like that.
It all comes down to choices. You know, you really are honestly, like you said, you're choosing, you know, that this is more important than whatever else.
Yeah.
And I was making, I think, poor choices when it came down to it back then, you know, when you rewind a few years ago, for sure.
Do you regret any of that?
Absolutely. I definitely made, home life was difficult more for my wife than anything, because she had to pick up the slack, you know, having little kids around and me being off on some adventure, you know, going to consulting, whatever, fire department, or going to some conference or whatever it may be. And, you know, I'm leaving her with the kids plus her working full time as well. So she carried a ton of the burden for me while I was out. You know, I mean, helping people out, but sure, but I was also having fun and doing whatever else too. So that goes along with it. You know, you have the conference, but then you go out after the conference and, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't a fair deal for sure.
What did you do about it? Did you make some changes?
I realized, and she helped me realize, my wife, that...
Is that like a slap upside the head, or how did she help you?
Yeah, but it was just, I mean, she just expressed to me that I was doing too much, and I needed to slow down. And it was all coming to a head, and that's actually, and it's just, you know, timing in this life is so important, and things just kind of pop in, and it's, you know, it was meant to be. And that's actually, and this sounds silly, and this is not a plug, but again, I do think things are meant to be sometimes. That's when you ended up getting scheduled to do a conference or a little seminar with my local.
Yes.
And it was just like, I knew that I was heading there already. Like, I knew I needed to make a change, and you were there to just kind of help me with that. All right, let's change. We can do this, and to just get started and get, you know, think about things differently and going about things differently and making that change. It's not that I can't do a lot of this stuff. I just need to pick and choose when I do it and how I do it. You know, the perfect example is right now, you and I recording this podcast. Well, we're recording the podcast. The kids are, you know, at their grandparents and hanging out, but I mean, soon enough, it's going to be at school. And that's my opportunity to do a lot of this extracurricular stuff is when they're going to be in school. If that actually happens, let's just say, you know, that's my chance to do all this extracurricular, this outside stuff, whether it's the podcast, whether it's the union stuff, whether whatever it may be, the consulting, that's my window. And when my wife comes home or the kids come home, that's when I got to try my absolute best to just move on from that role and be dad and be a husband.
Oh, that is great. And it sounds like if I think about that, let me go back in your life a little bit here, Jim, is that if we talk about guiding principles in life, you know, what are those for you and where do you think they came from?
I mean, I would have to imagine, again, my parents being huge, not just my parents, but just like everybody else, but just role models of doing what's right, knowing the difference between right and wrong. And I think a lot of even the sacrificing, the putting others before yourself, which I think I clearly end up doing, not just at work. I mean, that's what we do for a living, but even beyond work, that all came from them too, you know?
Yeah. And in the profession, obviously of firefighting, law enforcement officers, you know, EMS and everyone, you know, all of you take that oath, right, to serve and protect the community. And yet sometimes many fail to recognize that they and their families are also a part of that community, you know, and we talk about that sacrifice, and I hear that a lot, and it is a sacrifice. But sometimes when we think about, and I'm curious about how you've evolved in your profession. Was there a point when you started to realize, hey, wait a minute, I need to take pretty good care of myself. You know, I need to take better care of myself and I need to spend more time with my family because it all works together, this work-life balance piece. Did you go through a little bit of an experience like that?
You know, I would say, And I'm willing to bet your listeners can have seen similar stories. There's a lot of times when I need to learn a lesson, I need to do it myself. I need to screw up and say, all right, I'm not going to do that anymore. Like I have to learn from my experiences. Mm-hmm. But I can also be observant and I can see my coworkers and I can see how you have you know, the firefighters, they work their 24/48s. They go into their side job, whether it's building decks or whatever. Maybe we know we do everything. You don't need the yellow books, yellow pages. You can just call a firefighter for pretty much any job you need.
Yes.
At least you could. You used to be able to. But so you'd have those firefighters that would work all their days off and they would do it to help supply whatever kind of living, you know, the lifestyle that their family had. But then at the same time, that balance is off to where you're not here, you're not helping with the kids, you're not meeting my personal needs either, and they would end up with divorce. And I saw that over and over and over again. And, you know, it reiterated the fact that I need to do a better job of being available and being around and doing stuff like this. Making money and everything else is helpful, especially when you're using it, you know, towards the kids, like, hey, this is our Disney money or whatever it may be.
Sure.
But you're walking that thin line, you know, where if you go too much to the side, it's going to affect everything else. I think you talk about it in your class, the cup spillage, right? Yes. Which you would probably do a much better job of explaining that than me. But, you know, when you have too much in, I guess the gist of it is when you have too much in one aspect of your life, it can overflow into the next.
Yes, it certainly can. And that spillage, you know, it can be positive or negative, but it's the negative that, of course, we want to be careful of. And, you know, you start talking about where you're at today and coming home and you have the boys and your wife and things like that. Can you go a little bit deeper into what are your priorities in life today?
Number one, and I know it sounds cliche, but it's going to be the family. Like, they're first. I mean, no doubt. I mean, everything else is secondary by a long shot. I mean, they have to be have to be first. You know, I saw growing up, I mean, I know the sacrifices that my parents made, and it was all for my betterment, you know. Clearly looking back, you could tell that. But, and you know, I want the same. Everybody wants their kids to be better off than they were. Plain and simple. And it's just, you know, that's how things work. But I need to make sure that I'm here to enjoy that as well. Like, I want to give them all the opportunities, but I also want to be able to see them grow, you know, in a silly way. Again, because I have, these guys are little, and I know they were taken out of school earlier this year, and now even yesterday they pushed back school starting. I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed them being home. I get like extra bonus time with them. Yes. I get way more time with them than my wife does, which is kind of unfair. But I mean, that's the reality of it is I'm, you know, I work 2 or 3 days a week compared to her 5. So because of that, I get quality time with them. And I know I want to embrace this time more than anything right now, because it's not always going to be this way. And they're going to grow up and they're probably going to hate me. At some point, and then like me again. At least that's how I was with my parents.
But you're sort of putting the why behind it, right? Because I was starting to think, why do you want to spend? How do you have that drive that you want to be that active father? Because as we know, not everyone's a hands-on active father out there. What advice would you give those that may not be, or that they're running very hard on the other side of life?
They're only going to be little for so long. I mean, they're only going to be under this roof for so long. And you have to make the most of it. Memories are, you know, you can have everything material, you know, nice house, nice car, whatever else. To me, the memories are really what matter.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just make it a point to schedule and do stuff. You know, just like, gosh, and I know I keep plugging you essentially, but like you really helped with this. I mean, it is your show, so I should be plugging you, but,
well, thank
but
you.
If you think about this, like, you know, I scheduled you, you know, this for this podcast, like right after this, I have another schedule where I have another meeting over lovely Zoom. But I mean, I schedule all these different things, you know, I know when I'm at work, I know when, you know, all these other obligations, but with that schedule as well, like schedule stuff with your kids, schedule stuff with yourself. Like, you know that, you know, tomorrow, you know, now we're going to try to go to a park, and if that doesn't work, you know, I have a time frame. We're going to try to do, you know, something different if we have to go indoors because of weather.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with, you know, exercise as well. Like you got to make it a point, like this is your block to actually exercise.
Oh, that to is work out,
to decompress, like actually make it a priority. And that goes with not only your family, but also then that kind of your self-care, doing what you need to do to stay on top of yourself. And I'm still, you know, that is still clearly a work in progress for me, but I have made progress.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen overnight.
No, very good point. Well, what are your toughest challenges when it comes to that self-care and exercise and or just work-life balance, the scheduling? What are some of those toughest challenges that you face?
You know, the schedule ultimately makes things difficult because, and everybody's going to be different. Where I work, I generally don't have a good night. It's almost to be assumed that my night is going to be crappy and that I'm going to have to make up for it the very next day. And even really even the day after that, I'm going to have to nap.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, hey, you did your 24s, you know, right now it's, you know, summertime, it's vacation season. Oh, by the way, we got people out with COVID where we're taking the whole firehouse out of service. Overtime is a thing too. That makes things difficult too. And there was a period in which I didn't work a whole lot. And if I did, I worked for comp time so I can ultimately take more time off later on.
Yes.
But now I'm at the position, and this is just me personally, where, you know, for us in Ohio, we got to do our 5 years, our top 5 year average is what our pension is based off of. And I'm at the very end of that. I got 5.5 left. So now is my chance to work as much as I can, build that up, get that average up, because that's, you know, that's obviously money right now, but that's also money in the future for myself and my family. And I just have to grin and bear it and work everything I can for 5 years, which sucks, you know.
Yes.
But it is what it is. And it's part of that conversation. I should back up and say, I've had that conversation. Like I don't just work to work. I mean, I've explained it to my wife of how this whole pension thing works, how, you know, what it means and why there's a why behind I have to do this. Because again, when I'm not here, it makes everything harder at home. She's got to pick up my slack. You know, we're not much of a team when I'm not there. She's really the only player oftentimes. So having that conversation with her and explaining that makes things so much easier. And that's not just for overtime, but it goes that way for everything. Whenever you're going to make a big commitment, having that communication and getting that blessing ahead of time, like, hey, yes, it's okay if you do this position. You know, there was a point in time in which I felt like I was going to step away from my union position, that I just had too much stuff going on. And that was the thing that I was reluctantly willing to let go. That was probably the bottom of the barrel at the time for me to consider. And when it came time to it, and I wasn't just going to walk away. I was going to finish my term and then let somebody else have it, not run again. But when it came closer, I mean, I had several individuals on the board say, no, you really need to stay. And I didn't want to leave. And ultimately, you know, the wife and I had a conversation, and she basically said, she told me you should keep doing it. Just do that job. Don't do everybody else's job and it'll be fine. And that's what I've really stuck to. I mean, it's not that I won't help out other people, but I won't dive in like I used to. And I won't step on their toes as much as I used to as well.
Sure. And the communication is I really loved hearing that with you and your wife and how you do that. And you talked about, you know, building that. And I think a lot of people are in your shoes. You know, you're building up that last 5 years or whatever, however the states run it. But is there a point where you still need to find balance? Because I could ask you a question. You know, if you think about how much can you work to build up that retirement, the question that comes to my mind is, how much do they need to pay you for you to lose the experience of raising your boys?
You have to be choosy. Like, I'm not, I still have the ability to say no. And if certain things were to come up, for sure, events, you know, graduation, games, if we ever play games again, you know, sports,
yes.
Things that are important, I'll say no, and I won't second guess it.
So you still have your priorities, your guiding principles. Family is a priority.
Yes. Yes. And, but I mean, I guess right now is a weird time. We all know that my schedule's pretty empty. You know, there's not a lot going on. We're not doing a lot of things. So,
Oh, come on. You told me you have to be off at 11 o'clock for another call.
Yeah. I had that one scheduled before you. So, no, it's just, you definitely have to pick and choose, but it's been made easier right now to say yes to it because there's not a lot necessarily to miss out as far as special events go, special sports or again, parties, whatever it may be, because everything is just low key right now.
Well, you mentioned about my workshops, and you've heard me preach about documenting your desired future. You know, what do you want that future to look like? So if you could fast forward 3 or 5 years down the road, describe that to us. What do you desire your future to be like in all areas of your life?
Sure. I've been working, and when I say we, you know, my wife and I have been working. We've kind of had this plan for a while to where we have looked ahead and figured things out. And, you know, it won't be long until I have that 25 in and I can walk away from here. And that is my intention, is to serve my time. Not that it's a prison time, but do my time and move on. And it's not that I'm just going to sit at home and do nothing or play golf or even frisbee golf, which I'm much better at because it's cheaper because I'm not losing balls everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm not having to, you know, not to pay for a cart or anything like that. Anyway, I digress. You know, we've been aiming basically at that date and we've financially planned for it. You know, I know when I can leave here in a few years, I'll be able to leave that early, I'll be young. I'll be 46 and a half. I'll actually have to wait a year and a half before my pension actually starts coming in. And how I'm going to be able to do that is simply by being aggressive right now and paying everything down and off. So when it's time, I'll be debt free.
Yeah.
And I'll owe utilities and I'll owe taxes and insurance, but that's it. So, and that's what gives me, go ahead.
What does the future look like then also in the other areas of your life, your family, your health? What do you desire for that future to be like?
That's I know at that point in time, I'll be around, I'll be available. I can go to every practice. I can do anything and everything. Whereas now I'm essentially going to games and stuff, but you know, then it'll be payback. Cause I'll be Mr. Mom at that point. I'll be around. I mean, again, we're just fast forwarding 5 years or so. So, you know, 12-year-old and, I did the math, 9-year-old. And, you know, at that point in time, hopefully they still like me too.
Well, they still do at that age.
Yeah. Yeah, so I've got a few more years where I can absolutely be around. I can work on the house. I can just be present physically and mentally. And whatever I do else on the side, it'll be much more, I think, manageable because I won't have 48 hours of my time away plus the sleep recovery time. I mean, it's a lot right now just being a career firefighter for where I work.
Oh, very good. Let me talk a little bit about health, Jim. I believe health brings a freedom very few realize until they no longer have it. And with that said, and all that you know today about the physical and mental health challenges and wellness concerns, the toll firefighting, and in that regard, you know, law enforcement and EMS can take on family relationships, how important should self-care and work-life balance rank in the overall training of today's firefighter?
Sure. So not only do we have to be physically, you know, healthy enough to do our job, but we need to be mentally as well. And that needs to maintain through our career and even kind of help us then afterwards. So I know everything I'm doing now is going to help or hurt me in the future. And I preach all about health and wellness, and I'm a hypocrite myself because I'm obese. I mean, it is what it is. I've been working on it. I've made great strides actually with a lot of your help. But it's a constant battle. You know, I kind of feel like Oprah sometimes where I'm up and I'm down and I'm up and I'm down.
Yes. And I need to send you another text again and ask you where you're at.
Yeah. Well, I'm down now. I'm doing good. I'm on the good Oprah right now. Yeah. But there's so many different factors that go into our health and wellness, what I've realized, especially as a firefighter and everything we're exposed to. On the cancer side of things.
Yes.
So there's, you have to do absolutely everything you can with the hope. It's just a hope that you're able to, you know, avoid a cancer diagnosis. Or at the same time, if you're on top of your annual physicals, your skin exams, you catch that cancer early on and you can still have that same type of lifestyle, pretty similar to it at least. And the mental health stays with it, you know, as well too. And a lot of times we leave the job broken. And to steal a phrase from my assistant chief. And when we leave the job, I mean, a lot of times that was our purpose. Like we did that for 25, 30 years, whatever it may be. And now all of a sudden that purpose is gone. So it makes things much more difficult. And you have to kind of end up finding that new purpose, which can be difficult for a lot of people. You know, what do you start over at 50 years old, what are you going to do?
Oh, I hear you. And I recall listening to one of your recent podcasts with Dr. Kevin Gilmartin, talked about how, you know, when you identify yourself, it's, I'm a firefighter.
Yes.
You know, it's not, oh, I do firefighting for a living. I'm a father. I'm a husband. No, I'm a firefighter. And that identity, and I think that happens with many, and sometimes in many different careers too, is that we identify with that career versus looking at it from a perspective, oh, I'm a firefighter, I'm a husband, I'm a father of two boys, and things like that. Would you hope that culture could shift a little bit? And it's just not in the fire service industry, but in general with people, would you start, you know, to where we start identifying who we are as a whole person?
I think we've already seen it. And again, and I'm just now speaking for my men and women in my department, but I'm going to say that word, the words that people love or hate, the millennials, probably more people hate than anything. At least the old people like you and me.
Yeah.
But they do make it a priority to stay at home and to be around. And they have no problem turning down overtime. They clock in, they clock out. And I'm not speaking for all of them, but for the most part, they'd rather be home. They'd rather just be around. They'd rather just kind of, they do live a simplified life. I think compared to a lot of us where they don't have that second job mentality. They live within their means with what they're afforded with their 24/48s or whatever it may be. And that's that. So I already see that coming in the next generation of firefighters, the young guys and gals.
And I understand that. I see it in many different areas, and as I teach in the MBA school at University of Dayton, and I talk about work-life balance in some of the leadership classes, just in general, that age group, I agree with you completely. They start looking at, I think it's because they from the polls that I've taken is that they've watched their parents work, 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 and work. And now they're peeling back from that and trying to live a more well-rounded life, I believe. And,
sure. I think back to my childhood and just knowing, you know, my mom was a school teacher. So yeah. she was home basically when we were home. But my dad, I mean, he was a salesman for anything and everything, mostly at the end, car salesman. And he worked long, long, long hours, and he wasn't there. He just wasn't there. But it wasn't because he didn't want to be there. It's because he was working towards making sure that we had opportunities afforded to us. You know, I ended up going to, you know, private schools. You know, my two sisters did as well. And I know they sacrificed their butt off to get us there. And looking back, I feel, and I've talked to them about this before, I feel bad because I didn't realize the opportunity they were giving us, and I didn't take it anywhere near as seriously as I should have. But when you look at it, when you know that going into it, like you, and it's not, you're not thinking bad about them. You're not bad mouthing them or how you were raised. You're basically just saying, what can I do to be different? And that's what I've tried to not, you know, have the same qualities, but still yet, is there a different way where I can be present, where I can be around, yeah, where I can give them opportunities, but at the same time, be able to watch them do this stuff.
I know you. I've heard you speak about your father in the past and things, and you mentioning your parents there. What is the best compliment you've ever received from them?
I just think that they were just, when I graduated my rookie school, just they were just proud of me.
Yeah,
they're proud. I mean, I was. You know, I don't want you to have to hit the explicit button on your podcast. I was an ASSHOLE. You know, after, you know, during high school, I moved out the day I graduated high school. And I don't think they knew what was going to happen with me, where I was going to go, just how it's going to end up. Because I was a brat.
Yeah,
I'm being very G-rated here. You could figure out what I'm trying to say. And for all the sun for me to actually get my stuff together and be able to pull that off and still be here, you know, almost 20 years later. I know they're proud of me. I mean, they tell me they're proud of me, and yeah. They know with everything else that I'm doing that I'm making a big impact. You know, my mother has no problems watching my boys for me to do a podcast or to go to whatever else, because she knows that I'm assisting people that need assistance. And it's not, you know, I do my work at the city. That's fine and well. I mean, I know I've helped, you know, the citizens of our city before, you know, for years, decades now. But what I've grown into is being essentially, whether it's the behavioral health side or the cancer stuff, I end up being a first responder to first responders.
Yes.
And it is taking care of our own, making sure that they can get through our career and then enjoy their retirement, whatever way that may be. That is kind of just kind of a, it's not how I plan on starting it. And I'm not even sure how it evolved, but that's where I'm at now. That's what I feel responsible for and what I feel like I'm good at.
And you mentioned about for them to enjoy their retirement. And as you talk about, you know, 4.5, 5 years away. And as an industry, though, the retirement years as they currently set, not many, the life expectancy is not that long into retirement. I don't have the exact figure in front of me. You might know it. But we definitely want that number to go much higher.
Well, then, Donnie, that is, again, that's one of those lessons that I've been able to learn from other people and not myself. Yes. I've seen all too often my fellow firefighters, you know, put their 25 in and then keep going. You know, we have this 8-year drop program, double dip, you know, retirement, where a firefighter like me walks away with several hundreds of thousand dollars, you know, in a bank account, plus getting paid the whole entire time. And not every state has that, but that's how it is set up here. And so I've seen these firefighters, they put in all this time, they get all this money, and then a year or two later they die.
Yeah.
And you can't help but sit back and go, well, what was the point of all that?
Right.
What's the point of putting in 30 years or whatever it may be, earning your retirement and not enjoying hardly any of it? You know, that's why I have the mentality of doing my time and getting out and enjoying it while I can, because, you just don't know. And it sounds morbid. Well, hell, it is morbid, but it's the truth. Like in our industry, you just, nothing is guaranteed. So if you can get out and be healthy and be around your family, and, you know, that's, to me, that makes sense. It's not for everybody, but it's for me. That's my goal.
Yeah. And getting out and being healthy, and you, as the work that you do in your consulting with a cancer and, you know, early detection and try to get prevention out there, health and wellness, or the mental health and wellness out there, you know, it's to encourage all firefighters and first responders to start making those things priorities in life, right? Would you agree with that?
That's right. I mean, and I know, you know, when I started this, you know, when I started fire school, I should say, and getting onto, you know, the big city and everything, or big city for us around here, I should say, we didn't know a lot of this stuff. And it wasn't until 5 or 6 years later that I finally learned and was, you know, actually saw that occupational cancer was actually a thing for us. Yeah. So you call it naive, whatever it may be. It wasn't discussed. And those first 5 years, being the young guy, you know, you're the first one in fire and the last one to leave. And looking back, I know I did a lot of dumb stuff that I would never, ever do again today, you know, with what I know now. But I can't take that back. I can try to preach about it and hope other people learn from my mistakes and not have to make it their own. But you just, nothing again is guaranteed. So take advantage of that time and do what you got to do to make sure that you do have that time.
Yes.
And it's that you have to weigh, is it worth it or not? It really is. All this stuff is risk analysis. What are you willing to risk? You know, what's the risk versus the reward? And that's, sure. we know that for being in the fire service, but think about that for your outside life too. You know, the longer for me, the longer I stay, the sooner I die.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah.
I realize that. So with that in mind, it's like, do your time and walk away.
I imagine you do not look forward to dying. So what do you look forward to?
No, yeah, I could do without dying. Not going to be internal or anything, but no, I'm not planning things. Freedom. The freedom to do anything and everything whenever I want. I mean, clearly I have to answer to the wife still, but I'm not going to get away from that. But just the freedom, being able to choose whatever I want. I mean, that's something that I don't have during my days on. And it'd be nice just to do that, to do whatever I want. If I want to stay at home and watch Harry Potter, the series, I can do that.
Yeah.
I don't have to even put pants on. I mean, whatever. That's kind of weird.
Questionable whether you have them on now. I'm not sure.
Yes. Weird. Well, yeah, I got shorts on.
All right. Let me ask you, I'll wrap this up in one or two more questions here. Is there anything that I have not asked you that you wished I would have, or that you'd like to spend more time on?
No, you know what? I think that there are some things that I've done that have helped in this overall work-life balance. One of them is, and I kind of talked to you earlier about trying to get everything done before the wife gets home.
Yeah.
But one of them absolutely is when she is home, doing that family dinner time. And when I'm doing that, putting the phone in the other room, turning the phone off, getting away from it, separating it from yourself, even for a little bit, even just for that dinner time, and being able to focus completely on what's going on with the family. How was her work? How was my work? Our moment to finally catch up after literally not seeing each other for 36 hours or so, typically.
Yeah. Now, share with our listeners, you know, because that doesn't happen by accident, does it?
No.
So how do you prepare yourself for that? What goes through your mind? What thoughts go through your head in order for you to act on that?
Oh, I don't know about thoughts other than just being like called out on it. Like being not focusing on her or them because I'm focusing on whatever else, whatever text or email or phone call or Facebook or Twitter, whatever. Being called out on it is what I think helped me and basically said, yeah, you know what? You're right. I need to disconnect. And it's hard to disconnect. I went to, last week I went to, you know, we're local here. We have the luxury of having Dave Chappelle in our backyard, and he's doing all these social distancing events, and it's really well ran. And it's really kind of how our upcoming health and wellness conference is going to be kind of set up the same way, where everybody's spread out, but you can still do stuff live. But part of what he does is he takes everybody's phones away, takes their smartwatches away, puts them in little pouches. Like, so you still have it, but it's locked in this pouch. And the whole intent of that is so you can't record anything and put it out and
the
YouTube world and all that kind of stuff. And they also, it gives them also the freedom to say whatever they want, you know, not have to worry about that happening. So, with that being said, just in that show for 3 hours or so, I mean, I felt absolute detachment from my phone. Like, this is weird. Like, I'd feel for it. It's not there. It's not in my pocket. And it's just the addiction was there, the knowing what's going on. What am I missing? I mean, and I know even after that, I need to do a better job of just walking away. There's nothing that I can't step away for 30 minutes and be okay. Like, I can call whoever back. I can text whoever back. I just, you know, make it a point to walk away from that reality so you can be in your real reality.
Sure. All right. Last question for you for this session here. So if you could place one thought into every firefighter's brain that would lead them to a feeling, which would lead them to an action, what would that thought, feeling, and action be?
You ask tougher questions than I do. All philosophical. Here comes the
thought, feeling, and action. Because if you think that it's from cognitive behavioral psychology, it's think, feel, act. We act. We place an action. We do something because of a feeling we have, and we get that feeling by the thought that runs through our mind. And as you know, we have, hundreds of thousands of thoughts running through our mind, probably in a day, right? Just constant inner chatter. So if you could place that one thought into a firefighter's mind that would lead him or her to a feeling and into an action that would be helpful to that person's work-life balance, what would that be?
I think I'd go with the big picture. The big picture. What are we doing this for? What's the point? A lot of us want to do this for a job to help everybody, but at the same time, it's a job in which you're going to get paid and be able to retire from. So when you think of the big picture, and that's difficult for some firefighters because when they're starting, they don't have a family yet.
Yeah.
So their picture is something that doesn't even exist, but still the big picture of getting to that retirement and being there for your family, even if you don't have it. And then what kind of actions do you have to take in order to get there? You know, what kind of initiatives do you have to implement, whether it's your health and wellness, the cancer stuff, the physicals, the just reducing your exposure, all that stuff to begin with. There's a whole multitude of things that'll help, if you're able to do that, help hopefully get you to that big picture at the end.
Yeah. All right. The big picture, lesson learned here.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Jim, for being my guest and opening up to our listeners and sharing with them your story. And I really do appreciate you. Thank you again.
No, thanks for having me on, Dr. Donnie.
Hey, if you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or EMS professional who enjoys this podcast and would like some help with your work-life balance, you need to check out my Get Balanced program. Not sure if you are balanced or not? Join me over at DonnieHutchinson.com and take the quiz. Together, we are going to get you balanced.